So with that, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Book of Romans, chapter 10. And I am going to read verses 1 through 4. If you don't have your Bibles with you, there are pew Bibles, but they are King James versions, and I am going to be reading out of an NIV translation. So the translation it might be slightly different than your pew Bible or the one that you brought with you here today, but it's all God's Word. It still says the same thing. So if you have your place, Romans chapter 10, verse 1, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. God's Word says this, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I give thanks for your word, this Bible that we have here before us. It has the power to transform lives. It transforms from the inside out. It causes the Holy Spirit to convict. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, I pray that this scripture will sink deep into our hearts here this morning. And I pray the message that I am about to give will be enlightening to all of us, Lord. And that we will all walk out of here being a little more knowledgeable about you and your word and about things that are going on in this world. To you will be all the praise and glory. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We are in the sermon series on Catholicism. I didn't realize that it would go this long, but this is week number 6. And again, this sermon is more like a Sunday school class where we are learning more about this religious system out there called Catholicism. That is led by a man called Pope Francis presently, and it already has about 1.2 billion people who follow that religious system. And again, it's not my intentions to condemn or insult anybody who is part of Catholicism or to bash that religion. I just want to provide you with facts about that religion and compare them with sound biblical teaching. So what I say, as I've said over the last 5 weeks, I say in love to all who may hear this message, either here today or on the internet. I'm going to give you three quotes here this morning from three different people. I'll be honest with you, I don't know any of these people, but these quotes are rather significant. The first person, his name is Robert Shea. He says this, and I quote, "Anyone who seeks power wants absolute power," end quote. The second quote from a man named Lord Acton. He says this, and I quote, "Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely," end quote. And the third quote is from a man named Eric Hoffer, and he says this, and I quote, "Those in possession of absolute power can not only prophesy and make their prophecies come true, but they can also lie and make their lies come true," end quote. Power, absolute power. We all have an idea what absolute power can or will do. What if you had absolute power? What if the president of our country had absolute power? What if a religious organization had absolute power? Well, the Roman Catholic Church, according to their own doctrine, has just that. Absolute power in all matters concerning the church. In his book titled The Roman Catholic Church, The Cold Hard Facts, author Vincent Lawrence Long writes this, and I quote, "The Roman Catholic Church expects people to accept everything they say as true. Down through history, the Roman Catholic Church has proven itself to be one of the most corrupt, if not the most corrupt organization that this world has ever known." End quote. One thing that the Roman Catholic Church has been known to do is to create new doctrine based on information outside of Scripture. Why do they do this? Because they have absolute power to do so. Here are two examples of Roman Catholic doctrine that have been created over the past 150 years. The first one is this. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was born without original sin. It's what we would call, and what is called, the Immaculate Conception. In 1854, with the Bull Ineffabilis, Pope Pius IX solemnly proclaimed the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. And he said this, and I quote, "We declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which asserts that the Blessed Virgin Mary, from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, was preserved free from every stain of original sin, is a doctrine revealed by God, and for this reason must be firmly and constantly believed by all of the faithful." End quote. So Mary was born without sin. Which leads, that one led to a second doctrine that the Roman Catholic Church came up with. That Mary, the mother of Jesus, was assumed bodily into heaven, or ascended. It's what the Catholics call the Assumption. And they say this, "Thus, when it was solemnly proclaimed that Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, was from the very beginning free from the taint of original sin, the minds of the faithful were filled with a stronger hope that the day might soon come when the dogma of the Virgin Mary's bodily assumption into heaven would also be defined by the Church's supreme teaching authority. It is forbidden to any man to change this, our declaration, pronouncement, and definition, or by rash attempt to oppose and counter it. If any man should presume to make such an attempt, let him know that he will incur the wrath of Almighty God and of the blessed apostles Peter and Paul." End quote. Given at Rome, at St. Peter's, in the year of the Great Jubilee, 1950, on the first day of the month of November, on the Feast of All Saints, in the 12th year of our pontificate, I, Pope Pius, the Bishop of the Catholic Church, have signed so defining. So, there you have it. Because the Roman Catholic Church has absolute power in matters concerning the faith in the church, they have determined that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was born without original sin, which to us Protestants would mean she was born without the human condition. When you're born without the human condition, that means that Mary, the mother of Jesus, never sinned throughout her entire life because she never had a desire to do so. And then because of that, because of this immaculate conception, she was assumed bodily into heaven, very similar to the ascension of Jesus Christ. And don't you dare deny these, because Peter and Paul are going to invoke their beyond the grave wrath on you. That's what they say. You're going to incur the wrath of Almighty God and Peter and Paul. I often wondered what the wrath of two dead men would be like. And I haven't felt it yet. On the website, www.catholic.com, which is a Catholic website, obviously, they affirm this position. They say this on their website about their doctrines and about their authority to proclaim these doctrines. They say this, and I quote from www.catholic.com, "Since the Immaculate Conception and Assumption are not explicit in Scripture, fundamentalists conclude that the doctrines are false." Here, of course, we get into an entirely separate matter, the question of sola scriptura, or the Protestant Bible-only theory. Let it just be said that the position of the Catholic Church is true. Let it just be said that if the position of the Catholic Church is true, then the notion of sola scriptura is false. There is then no problem with the Church officially defining a doctrine which is not explicitly in Scripture, so long as it is not in contradiction to Scripture. The Catholic Church was commissioned by Christ to teach all nations and to teach them infallibly, guided as He promised by the Holy Spirit until the end of the world. Listen to this last sentence. The mere fact that the Church teaches that something is definitely true is a guarantee that it is true. So there you have it. Again, the Roman Catholic Church is the spiritual king of the world. It's like Leonardo DiCaprio standing on the bow of the Titanic. I'm the king of the world. They're the king of the Church. You know, so it is written, so it shall be done. But if you listen closely to what I said, they use something called circular reasoning. Have you ever heard of circular reasoning before? What is circular reasoning for those who might not know what it is? Circular reasoning is a logical fallacy in which the reasoner, in this case the Roman Catholic Church, begins with what they are trying to end with. You begin with the end. So why do Catholics believe these new doctrines are true? Well, because the Roman Catholic Church says that they are infallible. And why are they infallible? Because they say they are. Unfortunately, the only proof or evidence of infallibility is what they claim. So the whole thing just goes around in a real big circle. There's no beginning and no end. It's just what they say. And because it does, they maintain absolute power in all matters concerning the Church. Here's a few more things that they have absolute power in. The Roman Catholic Church claims absolute power when it comes to matters of salvation. Now, before I read what they write here, just remember this. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and most, if not all of you are, okay? We know that we're saved. Matters of salvation, amen? Amen. The Catholic website, www.catholic.com, says this, and I quote. Now, they're going to disagree with you and me, okay? So I quote, "However, For those who knowingly and deliberately, that is, not out of innocent ignorance, commit the sins of heresy, which is rejecting the divinely revealed doctrine, or schism, separating from the Catholic Church and or joining a schismatic church, no salvation would be possible until they repented and returned to live in Catholic unity. End quote. We'll get back to that here in a second. Another one. The Roman Catholic Church claims absolute power when it comes to matters of scripture interpretation. The Council of Trent, Session 4, concerning the use of sacred books, says this, and I quote, yes, the Council of Trent is still in effect 500 years later, and I quote, no one relying on his own skill shall, in matters of faith and of morals pertaining to the edification of Christian doctrine, wrestling the sacred scripture to his own senses, presume to interpret the said sacred scripture contrary to that sense which Holy Mother Church, whose it is to judge of the true sense and interpretation of the Holy Scriptures, hath held and doth hold. End quote. So, let me explain what those two other last ones mean. In other words, the Roman Catholic Church is telling us that when it comes to faith, when it comes to morals, and when it comes to doctrine, and when it comes to salvation, and when it comes to interpreting Scripture, that Christians are not allowed to interpret Scripture in contradiction to how the Roman Catholic Church interprets them. This means there is no way, even for the common Catholic to know if the Roman Catholic Church is false, because they are obligated to never contradict the Roman Catholic Church when examining Scripture. They must submit to that whatever the Roman Catholic Church says is the proper biblical interpretation. We don't have a chance. We don't have a choice. And that's why, as I said, as I was growing up in the Roman Catholic Church, I was never told, I was never encouraged to open this book. Why? Because people like me just might become another Martin Luther or go off and leave the Catholic Church, because I might learn truth for myself. And you can't do that. One more. Indulgences. What is an indulgence? According to a Catholic website, newadvent.org website, an indulgence is this, and I quote, the extra sacramental remission of the temporal punishment due in God's justice to sin that has been forgiven, which remission is granted by the church in the exercise of the power of the keys through the application of the superabundant merits of Christ and of the saints, and for some just and reasonable motive. End quote. Now, let me explain what all that says. In other words, you get time off of your time in purgatory because of your just and reasonable motives, and it's all made possible by the merits of Jesus Christ and the merits of the saints. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Well, you might say, well, how can that be? There is no purgatory. The infallible Roman Catholic Church disagrees with you, and they say this. The Council of Trent, Session 25, on the 3rd and 4th of December, 1563, declared this, and I quote, since the power of granting indulgences has been given to the church by Christ, and since the church from the earliest times has made use of this divinely given power, the Holy Synod teaches and ordains that the use of indulgences as most salutary to Christians and as approved by the authority of the councils, shall be retained in the church, and it further pronounces anathema against those who either declare that indulgences are useless or deny that the church has the power to grant them. So there you go. If you don't believe in indulgences, you're anathema. You're condemned to hell. And we were condemned to hell last week for some of the things that we didn't believe. So you have to ask the question. We talked about circular reasoning. We talked about absolute power. How can the Roman Catholic Church just say these issues about Mary and about salvation, about scripture interpretation and indulgences, how can they say that they are absolute truths when they cannot be found anywhere in scripture? Because the Roman Catholic Church believes they receive, this is very important, folks, listen, because they believe they receive and continue to receive divine revelation from God on all these issues and other issues. They continue to receive divine revelation. That, my friends, is a very big problem. And let me explain why. You ever heard of a man named Joseph Smith? He was the founder of Mormonism. He had divine revelation. People and preachers all around the world today, unfortunately, are claiming divine revelations, revelations of some sort. And I said this in a sermon a few months ago. If everyone's getting divine revelations and prophetic visions, then whose revelations and visions do we believe? Where does it stop? Whose do we believe? Let me give you the answer to that. The fact is this, Beech Grove, that divine revelation from God has ceased, and it has ceased with Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. The book is closed. The canon is closed. God's revelation to people is closed. And if it isn't, we are in serious trouble. Absolute power in all matters concerning the church. And as I said back in the first week of the series, when you are in this Catholic system, you develop an attitude about this system because you love what they can do, because you know as part of that system that they have absolute power and control. And you, as a devoted Catholic, are loyal to that teaching and that power. After all, you are one of 1.2 billion people who are part of an infallible system. It's unfortunate that many, if not most, Catholics are locked into a religious system. And this false teaching on their absolute power and jurisdiction of the universal church is just another part of that system. But they believe it. Why? Because that's what they're told to do. Catholicism, when you are in it, you don't question it. When you are in it, you don't challenge it. When you're in it, you don't deviate from it. And when you're in it, don't you dare step out of it. Well, we're going to finish up next week on this series on Catholicism. Going to be a kind of a summary and a kind of a personal plea from me as an ex-Catholic to any Catholics that may be listening to this message. Let's go to God in prayer.